When it was time to have my third baby, we were moving from overseas back to the States, and the area in which we were moving had one hospital. And when I called and said, hey, this is my experience and I'm ready for another VBAC, they said, nope, plan for another cesarean. We don't care that you've had a VBAC. And I was like, no. I have worked too hard, too long. I know the risks and the benefits of what I am trying to do. Like, that's not happening. Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey. Let me start this episode with a reviewer of the week. This one is from Kristen Thomas. That is the way your name is written. She said, get ready to feel empowered and confident about your birth experience. Hey, Stephanie, my name is Kristen, and I am so thankful for your podcast. As soon as I was a day late for my period, I knew I was pregnant, and the first thing I did was try to find a podcast that fit what kind of birth experience I knew I wanted to have. I am so grateful that I found this so early in my very first pregnancy. I binged listened from the very first episode all the way to the most current episode, started at 4 weeks pregnant, and now I am 17 weeks. That is a lot of episodes. And I feel so empowered, knowledgeable, and confident to have a natural, unmedicated birth that I have always dreamt about. I knew I wanted this kind of birth experience before we even started trying, so I had my husband on board before we were even pregnant. Thank you for filling us with so much knowledge and helping us feel confident in all the choices we are making leading up to welcoming our first baby into our lives. I would love to come on and share my birth experience after baby comes in late November. Kristen, this is awesome. Thank you for your review. Thanks for being with me and for following along. I hope that you are putting all of these tips, tricks, information to practical use so that you are totally prepped for this birth coming up. So, congratulations. I hope the birth goes great. And let's move into this week's episode. Guys, this one's going to be a little bit different. Welcome to the 200th episode of the Pregnancy and Birth Made Easy podcast. As I was saying that, I felt myself wanting to say welcome to the 75th Hunger Games, right? But that is not what this is. This is a happy place. And if you can hear it, it's a little more hollow this week. I am in a house. We just moved again, which I'll get into in just a moment. But I'm actually in my old room recording, but there is nothing in here. So once I started talking, I was like, wow, you definitely sound a little bit hollow. So if that's what you're hearing, that's why. Let me just say, though, as I was like writing the outline for this episode or kind of like dreaming up what I was going to talk about for my 200th episode, and maybe this won't go the way that some of you are picturing, you're like, probably she's probably going to have some excellent interviewee and, you know, just some incredible nugget of knowledge that she's going to share. That's not the case. I want to talk for a moment just about my gratitude. I can't even believe, I feel like I don't have words to express the gratitude that I feel today being here. Having this podcast and hitting 200 episodes. When I started all of this, oh my gosh, you guys, it's been a lot. 15 years ago, I had a birth that was really hard in all of the ways that it could be hard. And it left me in a really unhealthy place, both mentally and physically. And I want to say that I went on to have two incredible VBACs, one which was medicated in a hospital and one which my baby that was born at home, my third baby. And truly, it's been important for me to share all of these births. And that last birth for me, though, what's kind of funny about that was I remember thinking, like, if I can do this, anybody can. And I started telling that story to anyone and everyone that would listen. And literally, this birth has been heard around the world now, which is kind of incredible. So as I sit here today, we have over 1.6 million downloads for this podcast that continues to grow every day as you guys continue to share it with your friends or leave a review so other people can see it or however it makes its way around. It has literally touched all parts of the world at this point, and that's pretty cool. So as I said, today's episode is just going to be a touch different. I want to take a brief moment and I want to touch on each of my births. I want to talk a little bit about my essential birth and kind of like a life update, which I don't think I've ever done on a podcast before. And so if you're like, this is not what I'm looking for, feel free to tune out and come in next week. But here's the thing. You guys have been along for the ride. You're here with me. I'm grateful for you. And this is an opportunity for you maybe to get to know me a little bit better in a way that I don't typically do. So let me walk you through how my birth journey started. And it's going to be a brief synopsis of these first couple births. But my first baby, and if you've heard my story before, he was born by cesarean. So I found out I was pregnant. I was excited to be pregnant. As it got closer and closer, and I'm like, oh shoot, this baby's got to come out, I started reading books or stories online, what I could find at the time. Like I said, it was 15 years ago. And I remember reading the beginning of this one book, and it was a birth story. And I was at work and I was just crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the birth I want. When I read the story, I knew that was the kind of birth that I wanted. And the birth that was described in the story, as the mom was telling it, was she was in charge of her body. She knew how to work with her body. The people in the room were respectful of what she was doing. And even the people observing were like along for the ride. They were holding place. There were tears involved when baby was born and joy. And her husband was there and she had support. And that really resonated with me. All I could do was like, that is the birth that I want to have. Kind of fast forward, my husband and I took all of the hospital birth classes that were offered at my local hospital. They were useless in my opinion, which I'll get into in a second, but it did not prepare me for birth in any way. And then I reached out to local birth educators. And because by the time I had started thinking about this, I was so far along in my pregnancy, I maybe had like 6 weeks to go or so. A lot of people were like, look, I'm full or otherwise. I had one lady who was like, I will meet with you on the weekends. I'm going to charge you this much extra and it'll be, you know, hours and hours on the weekend, which I was so grateful for. But at the same time, we were newlyweds. We were so broke and my husband worked on the weekends. So it wasn't even an option. So I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I can do this. I will wing it. Women have given birth from the beginning of time. Why is it going to be any different with me? I've seen a couple of shows. Like literally, I was like, I can do this from what I've seen, heard, whatever. And so kind of fast forward into the birth, there were red flags that I had had from my provider. You guys have heard me talk about those before, but one of which when I was talking about going unmedicated, he said, well, women with size 5.5 shoe and smaller tend to have cesarean births. I'm literally in the office. Now, I don't know much about birth, but I knew that was a crock because I'm like my grandmother was 4'10". I'm assuming she came from somebody that was short. Like short people have lived from the beginning of time and birth babies. So what are we talking about? But it was too late by that time, right? We're talking like 36, 37 weeks that I get to have this conversation with my provider. So anyways, what happens is during the night, I am waking up a lot to pee when it's like birth time, right? However, I couldn't tell, like, I'm like, oh, wow, like I am peeing a lot. I can't tell if I'm peeing myself a little bit. And back and forth to the bathroom, I lost my mucus plug that morning. I remember running out to my husband. He had just left, closed the door for work. And I like underwear down to my ankles. And I was like, Michael, something's happening. Like, you know, I lost my mucus plug. Again, I don't know the entire process of birth, but that was a big deal. I was like, ooh, something is happening. And so I call the hospital, of course, right? First time mom, and I haven't taken a birth class. I call the hospital and I'm like, this is happening. And they're like, oh, like, okay, pay attention. Are you having any contractions? You know, whatever. Also, I've had this like trickle that I couldn't tell if I was peeing or not during the night. So they're like, yeah, pay attention to that. We'll probably have you come in and test your waters. So I, you know, keeping track, can't really feel anything unless I'm super focused. They're about 10 minutes apart. Not a big deal. I take a couple hours because I wanted to shave my legs and eat something, right? So we get there. They test. Yes, it is amniotic fluid. The tiniest trickle. I am not in active labor. So then begins the cascade of interventions that you guys have all notoriously heard about. And so they put me on Pitocin, which I remember asking my nurse. I said, did my provider say I need it? Because if I don't need it, I don't want to be on it. She came back. She said, yes, he used the word need. I said, okay. So put me on Pitocin. Needless to say, my baby did not handle the Pitocin well. Anytime they tried to crank up the Pitocin, his heart rate would drop. So he went into distress after a very long time of laboring. It was well over 24 hours. I was tired. Baby was tired. It ended in cesarean. And when everything was said and done, now I wasn't able to connect and bond with that baby super quick. Kind of the whole situation just left me in a whirlwind. If you've heard a little about my story, even the operating room and how they were just talking with each other, and it's like I wasn't even there. Like the whole situation was just kind of awkward and had me out of body, not happy with what just happened. So, and when I was able to look back at it, you know, once I became educated and I was able to look back, retrospect on the birth, I was like, that was not supposed to be a cesarean. That was a hospital provider induced cesarean, in my personal opinion. If things would have gone differently, if I could have done some things differently, that would not have been a cesarean birth. However, because of that, it forced me into figuring out what I could do different the next time. And I know some of you listening on here, this is your story. So you're in the right place if that's the case. So I got super educated the second time. I brought my husband with me. We took this really long birth class. We got really, really educated. I practiced all my breathing and relaxation techniques and whatever I was supposed to do. And then I hit syprodromal labor for that second birth. So we're overseas, we're at a hospital, they're all for the VBAC. None of that was like something I had to fight at all. I could eat and drink during labor, I could wear my own clothes, like all the things that were on my list that were super important, it was like wasn't even a second thought overseas. So that was great. But that prodromal labor hit, I had it for a couple days beforehand. And then I started having these pushing contractions at like 4 centimeters dilated. Basically, I didn't know. It was likely a positional thing. There were things I could have done to have gotten better rest. There was some like meditation kind of things I could have worked through, different relaxation techniques, things I could have changed to change the situation. On top of that, I wanted to get into water. I had a little bit of a communication gap with the nurse on staff, and I finally just said, yeah, give me some medicine. When I got this shot of medicine, it wasn't an epidural. It was like a take the edge off narcotic. I was able to rest for a couple of breaths before my water broke. So what was happening is I needed to relax. My body needed to relax and I wasn't able to do that. But the second I got a little bit of relaxation, things started moving. And so things went on. I was having a hard time. I chose to get the epidural. Excellent epidural. I had a wonderful experience. I had my VBAC in a hospital. I sat up. I remember like sitting up and being able to hold my baby after birth, which with a cesarean, you're just not. You just had major abdominal surgery. It was completely different. And I walked around the next day with my baby. I mean, I was on cloud nine. It was the best experience. And when it was time to have my third baby, we were moving from overseas back to the States, and the area in which we were moving had one hospital. And when I called and said, hey, this is my experience and I'm ready for another VBAC, they said, nope, plan for another cesarean. We don't care that you've had a VBAC. And I was like, no, 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 no. I have worked too hard, too long. I know the risks and the benefits of what I am trying to do. Like, that's not happening. And I even had a provider like in my area that was like, oh, I'll let you try. And I'm like, I am not going to be your guinea pig. Like, I know exactly how my births go and we're not doing that. So I made the best decision of my life when I decided to, and I did this still while I was overseas. I interviewed a doula and I interviewed a midwife that was local to that area that I was going to be moving. And so I had my third baby at home. And it was not, I was like super nervous. It was not my first pick. But once I started preparing for that, once I had it in my mind and I was like, I can totally do this. And I had that doula on my team and my husband and I really worked hard and worked together this time. He's talked about that on the podcast before where he was like, I know I can handle any situation, no big deal. And after the second birth, he was like, okay, let's, you know, zone in, get really serious about how I need to support her. And so he did. He was excellent that way. I had my support. And the way that my labor went, 100%. So I had a week of prodromal labor. And then my contractions were never really closer than 6 minutes apart. And I mean, prior to pushing, all the way through transition into pushing. In fact, at one point, I took a nap for 45 minutes and ended up in transition. Like, you try doing that at a hospital, particularly one that's already not VBAC friendly. And I would have ended up with a cesarean birth. Hands down, I don't guess for a second. I know that would have been my story. But I was at home and I had a midwife and a doula. And when I looked around to see, like, am I okay? Is baby okay? And all they're doing is smiling and telling me I'm doing great. Completely different experience, changed my life. So I had that baby at home. Some of you have heard that story. It was an incredibly spiritual story towards the end, especially. I was pushing, I was in the tub, the birth tub, and it had been, you know, over 4 hours, close to 4.5 hours at this point. And I remember telling my husband, I'm like, you know, I can't do this anymore. Like, go make the bed and I'm going to get out and we're just going to push the baby out there. And in my head, I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, like, do I need to transfer? And if I transfer, I'm going to have strangers in my room and there's going to be bright lights and then I'll be around providers that don't know me or care about me or, you know, might have their own ideas of why I'm here because I tried to home birth and whatever. And so once I walked myself through that, I was like, okay, husband, like, go make the bed. I'm just going to get out of here and go upstairs and we'll have a baby. And so once he left, for the first time during that labor, I said a prayer. And this is something that's important to me. Like, I am a woman of faith. If you've listened to me before, like, I have a personal relationship with my Father in heaven. But weird enough, all of that, right? I hadn't prayed at all for myself during this process. And so I pray and I'm like, just this quick, Heavenly Father, like, I'm scared. I can't do this without you. And like, I need help. And so my husband comes downstairs. And he's like, okay, let's go, you know, and he goes to like pick me up because I am tired and I'm stubborn. and I told him, no, it's happening. And I felt it. I felt that right after that prayer and he came down and two pushes later, my baby was out. And so I had this incredibly spiritual experience where I truly felt help from the other side. I truly felt help from my Savior. I felt like I got to work through this really hard thing and then be delivered. It was just a really neat experience. But my baby was healthy. I was healthy. Everyone in the room, like the way that my room felt, it was incredible. And if you've experienced that before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't and you want to, you can. It is amazing. It's the best thing ever. And so I left that birth and I'm like, holy cow, if I can do this, anyone can do this. And they need to know that. Like, now I have to shout it from the rooftops. Now I need to tell the world. And so that's where my calling to kind of spread the good news of birth came from. So shortly after that, I became a birth educator, which led immediately to me being a doula. And I fell in love with both of those things. I started networking. I reached out to other doulas. We kind of started our little relationship where we back each other up and we started these positive birth groups and all that. And that led into, I need to become a midwife. I am not doing enough. I need to, you know, be on the front lines. And so I actually started midwifery school in Utah. And everyone can make fun of the fact that it's called midwifery. My friends give me grief about this all the time. I didn't name it. It's not midwifery school. It's midwifery school. Anyways. So I start at midwifery school and I'm doing my first semester and I'm doing great. Straight A's, loving the work. And about 3/4 of the way into that semester, I realize I can't do this. I have little ones at home. They need me. You know, I homeschool. I love my little guys. They need mom right now. This might be my calling later. In this moment, it is not. And at that time, that's when I got a call from Courtney, who reached out to me and said, hey, I have this idea. What about creating an online birth course? My immediate thought, no, like I have to quit midwifery school. And like, you know, I already teach birth classes in my home and I'm a doula. that's not going to work. And again, kind of through some prayer, I was like, holy cow, I'm supposed to do this thing. So we created My Essential Birth, which was, holy cow, it took so long. It should not have taken as long as it did, but we had never done this before. We wanted to get it right. So between the like creation of the content, creating a workbook, all the professional videos, getting it edited and all that stuff that we had never done before, it took a nice long time. And we went into a lot of debt over it, which is probably not the best way to start a business. And had we followed, you know, the guide map that we had in front of us, it wouldn't have been that way. But it is what it is. We did what we did. So January of 2019, we opened the doors to crickets. Nobody's interested. Nobody cares. And we were floored because we were like, no, like we called people. We've like done all the research. We've had it's evidence based and we had it reviewed by other people. Like we know the information's good. How come nobody is waiting, lined up, you know, to purchase it? Because nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it. So we kind of laughed about that. At the time, it wasn't funny. I can laugh about it now. But and we had no idea how to deliver content either. We had started an Instagram and we were both super uncomfortable on video. Guys, I still hate getting on Instagram and being on stories and like videoing myself. I feel so silly. But I know it's all part of it. And I do love talking to you guys. I just wish I was talking to you and not my face that I see on the video. So anyways, all that to say, we decided to do a podcast. And the first episode was so bad. If you listen to the very first episode that we ever posted, which I had to look it up, it was July 12, 2019, and it was titled Why Your Hospital Birth Class Probably Sucks. I still stand by that, the entire episode. But the first episode, that's actually the second episode. However, it is our first because the first one was so bad that when I had my sister listen to it, she was like, do not put that on anything live. Don't do it. And I totally agreed with her. I was like, oh, we're so bad at this. The audio was awful. Like what I was talking about was awful. I was stumbling over my word. Like it just was no good. It was good advice to not put that up there. The second one was better. They got better after that. There are videos and pictures of Courtney and I. At one point, we were at her husband's office and we had blankets over the, like we were trying to get the sound right, you know? So we were like under the desks with blankets over the desks and our microphones, like just trying to be, just have the quality be so much better. And even that didn't do it, but it was better than what we were doing. Now things are, you know, I hope a little better, except for now you've got a nice big echo for this episode. But so we aired that in July. And by August, it was like end of July that I told Courtney, I was like, look, we have spent all of this money. We were completely in debt. And I think it was August. August was the first month where I was going to have to start. It wasn't like we were paying debt with debt. You know, we were like using credit cards until they were maxed out to pay like our monthly subscriptions to like host our website and like whatever we were using, the podcast, whatever. And I told her, I'm like, I can't start taking, like August was going to be, I'm going to have to start taking from my family's personal account. And I can't do that. I've already had to stop teaching birth classes. I'm not dueling because of how much time this has taken. I need to like, we're going to have to cut this. And I had a dream, which is sometimes how I receive personal revelation. I had this dream and it was basically, I won't go into the details of it. It's personal, but it was basically, keep going, you're right there. And I said, okay. And I was back in. And August was the very first month where we sold enough courses to pay just to cover the debts that we had created. So that is kind of how things started. And then every month past that, I never had to take from my personal, from my family account. And that was huge. That was such a big deal. So the other thing that happened was as we kept podcasting, this is how I started talking to you. I fell in love with this kind of communication. I could talk long form. I could tell you everything that was on my mind. If you listen to our early episodes, it was so fun having Courtney as a co-host. I felt like women could come and listen and it was like you were sitting at a coffee table with us, just listening to us chat about birth stuff, but you were there and you were one of the friends and you were a part of it. And in fact, when I had to take this over on my own, it was so hard. I was like, I don't have anybody to talk to. Who am I going to talk to? Talk to myself. This is awful. I don't want to do this. But it got better, obviously. And I'm a little more comfortable with that now. But even early on, like I was doing my own editing, just everything. It was so like scrappy in the beginning. But so 2019 was awesome. If you guys were following all the way back then, like that was the first year. Like I did a half marathon that year. We launched our podcast. Like things are finally like flowing. Family stuff was going great. Like it was so good. And then 2020, not just me, but all of you too, like it just about killed me. And I mean, it was like trial on top of trial. It was not just because of what was going on in the world, but things shut down. Family stuff got hard. Later that year, my sister had a baby and I drove in the middle of the night because she was like 34 weeks and a couple of days. Her home birth midwife could not legally attend her birth if she went into labor before 36 weeks. And so I'm like, well, I'm not letting her give birth alone. I packed up the kids middle of the night, drove to California from Utah, and talk about prodromal labor. She had it for over a month. She had 6 weeks of prodromal labor. So I was out there for 6 weeks, staying with my parents, had my kids with me. I was in a whirlwind of emotion. California was more shut down than Utah. It was just weird. So she has a baby. And then I came home and we had some nieces and nephews that were having a rough go. And so we started taking them on the weekends. And then beginning of that next year, we had all of them in our home. And there were three of them. And I have my three and they were like in between ages. So we just had one every single age and six of them. And we did that for 8 months. And then we split a couple of them up and then we kept the nephew and the nieces split up. And then it just towards the end of the year, things got crazy. They all ended up back at our house. We had them for Christmas. And then we ended up keeping one of the nieces and the other two went with another family friend. It was just crazy. And I know it's just sometimes that's what happens. And we're grateful that we were in a position to help. And I love having them in my home. But it wasn't easy. And in some ways, it was like a great thing, right? Because then it was like, it forced my husband and I, we're like, okay, we're having weekly date nights and we're scheduling, you know, our house cleaning a little more clearly. And like, there were great, great things that came out of it on top of the fact that we were serving and loving one another. But it was hard. It was a trying time. And then in 2022, which was last year, we moved across the country. So we moved from Utah. We moved all the way over here to Florida. We're in love with Florida. We have no plans to leave anytime soon. And then we just moved again last week, which once we made that decision and started packing, I just wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry because I'm like, I can't do this again. The move was not as bad. I was being a little dramatic, but it was hard. And we're leaving like this big, beautiful house and we're going to another beautiful home. But we're renting again. And the plan was to have purchased. And this is just how life goes. So this is like, in the background, when maybe you're like not seeing me as much on social media or whatever, like it's just life stuff that is happening. Meanwhile, I'm homeschooling the whole time. You know, when we had our nieces and nephews, they were going to regular school. My kids were going, they were homeschooled. And then I put my kids in school for a semester because I was going crazy with all the schedules. And now we're back to homeschooling. And now I have a teenager going into high school. Like it's just kind of all over the place. But I think that's just life. And the reason I am sharing this with you, it's just kind of like time flies and here we are. And it's just a glimpse into this is the back end of my essential birth, you know. And on top of that, let me say, you know, Courtney and I in 2021, she decided she needed more time with family and had some family stuff she needed to tend to. And I took over my essential birth. That was so hard in itself. And then we added on all these other things. But I also think when we have experiences like that, it can be such a growing, uplifting, empowering situation. Doesn't feel like that when you're going through it, right? You kind of feel like you're like trudging, sludging through all the yuck. And then you get to the other side and you're like, wow, like I grew a lot and I can't believe all the good that has come from this. And anyways, time flies. And And now we have a postpartum program for you. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely go take a look. It's at myessentialbirth.com. And when you scroll down and you get into the birth course, we've got postpartum for you now too. So that's pretty awesome. Just with everything that's happened these last years, I just want to say thank you for those of you that have kind of followed along and buoyed me up along the way. Maybe you didn't know that you were doing that. I know I've shared with you a couple of you who have DM'd me at just these perfect times that I will just say something like, you have no idea how much I needed this today. And that is absolutely true. I feel like right when I'm having those really rough times, when I'm in tears over the last weeks, months, and years, just praying even about my essential birth, like, should I keep doing this? Is this what my kids need? Is this what my family needs? Am I serving women? Is this, you know, is it actually necessary work that I should be doing in my life at this time for other people? I'll get a message saying something from one of you that's like, what you're doing is so important, and I'm so grateful that God put you here and you're standing in your purpose, things like that. And I'm like, wow, you have no idea what that does when I'm feeling my lowest. And this has been such a blessing for me. Because of my essential birth, because of this podcast, because of the birth course, because of all of you, I have the blessing of being able to stay home with my kids and work from home and get to talk to all of you. And so anyways, I feel like I'm grateful for those small ways where I get to be just a tiny bit a part of your birth experience, whether that's because you listen to me on the podcast or you send me a message or you email me. I being able to kind of communicate and put a mom at ease or explain something that maybe isn't making sense or point you in the right direction to be able to get help, or even just being a part of that community on the Facebook group. All of that is pretty special. And I don't always, I mean, don't get to meet you guys, you know, necessarily all the time up close and personal. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And I look forward to doing this for hopefully a while longer. And I can't believe it has been 200 episodes. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here. And I hope that you'll continue to follow along. So as I finished up recording that episode, this episode, episode 200, and I was pondering on it and kind of just reflecting back, I realized, and I should have written it in the outline because this is what happens. I thought it would just pop into my mind, but it doesn't. That I wanted to take a moment to, I know that I express my gratitude and love for all of you that are listening, and I totally mean that. I also want to take a moment for those who have supported me along the way that I did not mention clearly within this episode. That would be my husband, my children, family and friends, and those like ride or die friends, you know who you are, who have walked me through just some of the hardest things in my life just these last couple of years. And on top of that, the incredible My Essential Birth team people. And I have had a couple of people who have worked with me now. And right now I think 2022 was awesome in a lot of ways. Two of the ways that it was awesome are called Danielle and Chelsea. So Danielle will be promptly making fun of me this podcast episode as I am wearing black. It is my favorite color. If you watch these on YouTube, it is the color I feel most comfortable in. Don't judge me. But she makes fun of me because I wear a lot of black. Also, I like filter through the other four shirts kind of regularly, and I could probably use a new wardrobe. But anyways, Danielle came on last year. We just celebrated, although I didn't do a good job of celebrating, but we just celebrated her 1 year, and Chelsea came just like a week or two later. And truly, I could not do this without them. So like a lot of the content that you guys see, the majority of like the Instagram content and stuff that is written and in there, like those come from Chelsea and Danielle. They're incredible. The emails, when you're getting responses right away on emails, if it's not coming from me, it's coming from Chelsea. And just my team is pretty dang incredible. Down to podcast editing, video editing. I don't do this by myself anymore, which is really awesome. And also I am fully realizing, I I couldn't do this by myself. There's no way that I could carry the weight of everything that needs to happen within this business to be able to serve all of you women without these incredible people. So I had to pop back on here and just give big shout out and kudos to everybody on the My Essential Birth team that works so hard to make sure that this information gets out to where it needs to go and truly keeps me on track to be able to do those things. So big shout out and lots of love to everybody involved with that.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.